as Joey knows, because he's been waiting patiently in Dallas, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio. Joey, welcome to the show.
Howdy, gentlemen. Six and two is also used in Mississippi.
It is? Okay. Well, I've got my map out here and a highlighter. Thank you for that.
I'm a Mississippi transplant, and I may have heard in Alabama once or twice as well. So,
okay.
Are either of you gentlemen familiar with the IB curriculum for high school students?
I as in India Bravo?
Yeah, pretty much.
No.
International Baccalaureate. Anyway, I teach a course called Theory of Knowledge, which is basically epistemology.
Yes.
And we are currently in the ethics unit. I introduced the trolley problem, and I also used, quite surreptitiously, the Polish... I'm on the phone, honey. The Polish film Most, The Bridge. Have either of you seen it?
No.
Two for two.
Recommend it to you and everyone else. Just type in Most, The Bridge on YouTube. It's 30 minutes long. And
okay.
It's the story of a train, a man who runs a train bridge, and his son goes to work with him one day, and he ends up faced with the impossible dilemma of does he lower the bridge and sacrifice his son to save the lives of those on the train?
Yeah.
So I'm trying not to make the Christian parallels too obvious, but we
sure.
were discussing the trolley problem in general. I am of the idea that we shouldn't kill the one to save the 10 or however many.
Yes.
Correct.
My question is, we're
with you that far, by the way, Joey.
Okay, that far, you got it? Okay. My question is, how is it okay for God to have sacrificed the one for the many? Is this an answer answerable by the Trinity, or why is it okay in that case?
Juicy question.
Yeah, well, first of all, if we're talking about God taking the life of an individual, if that's the question, God is the author of life, and as such,
okay.
He can give and he can take, okay? So God has absolute sovereignty over life. Any human being that is a body-soul composite, when death occurs, that's ultimately due to God's will, because God's the one who sustains us in existence, and it's not to say we go out of existence when we die, right? We're not annihilated, but even our earthly existence and the body-soul composite and the body and soul being united, that's ultimately due to God's causality, and when death occurs, that's ultimately due to God. Now, in regard to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, the one for the many, which would be a Jewish idiom for all, right? The
mm-hmm.
one for all, for the entire world. That is an act of Jesus himself, both the Father and the Son. It's the Father willing that this take place, but it's the Son also accepting the will of the Father and making an act of his own. Jesus exercises his own human will to give up his life in sacrifice for the entire world. So that would be analogous to me as a husband. I see that my family is in danger, and I know that if I offer myself in sacrifice to stop the intruder, you might say, sacrifice myself for the well-being of my family, that is a praiseworthy thing to do because it is an act of my own will and given laying down my life in self-sacrificial love for my family. Similarly, the Son of God, who takes upon himself a human nature, exercises both his divine will to save the world and his human will to make it an act of man in laying down his life in sacrifice for the world. So it's not the Father saying, die, Son, I'm going to kill you. It's the Son realizing the plan of the Father, what is necessary, or what is fitting, I should say, technically speaking, to save and redeem the human race. And he, with his free human will, lays down his own life and sacrifice for all of humanity to take away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist says in John 1:29, opening the gates of heaven to all of humanity. So I would look at it from the perspective of the Son laying down his life in self-sacrificial love, in obedience to the Father, yes, but in cooperation with the Father, because that's the Father's plan of how he wants to redeem the human race. Does that make sense?
It does indeed.
Okay.
And I almost feel like you could have gotten out of it earlier on when you talked about just God as the author and creator of life, because the trolley problem's basic idea, right, is you either kill one or let a certain number die.
Right, but we
but
don't have the authority
cases,
to
God
kill
is,
one.
Roger. But God, even if they, no one, nothing just happens either way, right? Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen. I've been waiting for a day for it really to fit in, and I figured this sounded good enough, and the call screener let me through. So,
thank you, Joey. Joey, appreciate it. I'm fixing to thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. And are you familiar with the writing of the late René Girard?
Oh, I'm not.
Okay.
Girard?
Oh, yeah, trust me. G-I-R-A-R-D. He's one of the most influential Catholic philosophers in the world. He was 91 when he passed away a few months ago. And he has a whole theory of mimetic scapegoating. And he wrote a book in 1972, I think, called Violence and the Sacred. But the place to start is, I think it's called A Girard or The Girard Reader.
The Girard Reader.
Yeah,
okay.
And Bishop Robert Barron has a very good short essay called René Girard, Church Father, which you can find.
See, I'm in a disadvantage because I went to public school, and so
I'm learning it
as I teach it. So,
yeah.
Chesterton's about the only thing I've got so far.
Well, it's a good start. You know, the Jesuits say, Joey, the best way to learn something is to teach it.
There you go.
Appreciate the call.